If you live in Oregon and plan to vote in the May 15th election, two things to know. One, you have to be registered by Tuesday, April 24th. Two, if you want to vote for partisan candidates, you have to affiliate with either Democrats or Republicans to get a partisan primary ballot. Oregon is a closed primary state. We begin our interviews for this election season with the 2nd Congressional District in Oregon. It includes Grants Pass, Jackson County, and everything east of the Cascades. It's a huge district. Republican Greg Walden represents the district now and has since 1999. In addition to 7 Democrats and an independent, 2 members of his own party oppose him. Representative Walden was invited to this discussion but has not responded. We do have the other 2 Republicans who filed. Randy Pollack is a truck driver from the Grants Pass area and is on one of the phone lines. Hi, Randy.
Hey, Jeffrey.
Glad to have you here. And Paul Romero, Jr. Is an appliance repair technician in the Prineville area. Hi, Paul.
Hey, how you doing?
Good. And let's just go alphabetical. Randy Pollack, tell us a little bit about yourself and why you're trying to start your political career with this job.
Well, it's not actually the start of my political career. I did get reelected twice in Texas before I came to Oregon as an election judge.
Mm-hmm. Okay, my mistake. But so what made you want to run for Congress, particularly against an incumbent who is a fellow Republican?
Well, I really don't like his voting record, and he has no spending discipline at all.
And do you take the recent tax bill and a spending bill into account in that?
Yes, this omnibus and every other one that he's voted for.
Okay. Paul Romero, Jr., tell us about what it is that you want to do if you'd get elected to Congress, and why oppose Greg Walden from within his own party? Always a difficult feat.
Well, you know, I think fundamentally there's a problem we have with everybody in Congress, or most people in Congress, is that you can't very well represent people you can't relate to. And with his voting record over the last almost 20 years, what people are finding is that he's not really been representing us at all. There's things he's done well. You know, I know he got to Wheeler County a nice clinic that they were in desperate need of. But fundamentally, you know, where are our timber jobs? Where's our industry? What kind of protection is Social Security getting from him? And it's really been pretty upsetting to me. And initially, it just made me angry. And I really wasn't sure what I was going to do about it until someone suggested I actually run against him, which I did in the last primary. So it's been kind of interesting. Just really reached out to the other voters and just to get a good feel for what their issues were. And what you find out is that our representation just is really out of touch.
All right. Let me start delving into some of the issues that you guys have put out there for the world to consider. Randy Pollack, you talk about wanting a 0 corporate income tax, which would be below what we're talking about recently. It got out of like 22% in the tax bill passed last fall.
Exactly. The corporate income tax is just passed on in prices to the consumer. Now, dividends and bonuses are already taxed, and that would still bring in revenue from the corporations.
But through the hands of the people who the corporations pay.
Exactly. When they receive their compensation, then they get taxed on that, and the shareholders get taxed on their dividends and their long-term capital gains.
All right, so if you want all the revenue to come in through individual taxes and not through any corporate taxes at all, would you change anything about the individual brackets or the rates or anything in there?
Well, there is already a lower rate for dividends to stimulate business investment. And capital gains rates are usually lower than the regular income rate. So I think that's sufficient incentive to investors.
All right. But the incentives then you're talking about are generally geared toward people who want to put some capital out there in the marketplace and not people who just want some money for groceries.
Exactly. Because, as I say, the taxes levied on a corporation are simply written off and passed on in prices.
Do you think prices would come down then? Is that your point?
Yeah, I think they should.
Well, I mean, do you think they have since the corporate rate was cut to 22% last fall?
No, I don't think the impact is filtered through the corporate financial structures yet sufficiently.
All All right, Paul Romero Jr., I want to come to you and give you a chance to talk about taxes as well. And you don't have much in your material out there so far about how you feel about tax rates or who should be taxed or any of that stuff, at least at the federal level.
Right. I think right now with the tax plan that's been kind of put into effect, it's going in the right direction. You know, I think that the corporate tax rate is going to have to continue to come down a little bit more, maybe just makes us more competitive and brings that those jobs back. And I think we've already been witnessing the effects of that. Here in the state of Oregon, as you know, we're getting, taxed, sales tax based on 750 small cuts. I think the public at large is getting pretty unhappy about that, and that's everybody, not just Republicans or conservatives. It's everybody because it's affecting everyone. I want to see the federal income tax rate continue to come down a little bit, kind of incrementally. And I don't think we've seen the full effects of that yet. But I think it's all going in a positive direction.
All right, both of you talk about in terms of making the corporations a little more comfortable to make sure that it stimulates growth there. Is there not a stimulus to be had from just putting more money into the pockets of the people, keeping the corporate rate where it is and dropping rates on individuals?
Oh, absolutely. I mean, I think it's par for the course. You let people keep more of their money and things go better. But as you know, with the state, they're literally trying to snatch and grab the tax breaks we're getting from the federal government. And again, that doesn't sit well with everybody. It's not just limited to Republicans.
We are talking to the Republicans running for Congress in Oregon District 2, a huge district, the largest district that isn't an entire state in the entire country. It is represented by Greg Walden right now, who has been invited to join us here in the exchange, but has not decided to do so. So we're talking to Paul Romero Jr., who's an appliance repair technician from Prineville, and Randy Pollack, a truck driver in the Grants Pass area. Your questions are welcome on the exchange at 800-838-3760 over the phone, or package up your questions in an email and send them to jx@jeffnet.org. Paul, I want to talk about one of the top issues that you indicate in your material, which is Social Security. What is your concern there?
Well, one of the biggest issues we have, again, we're back to non-representation. We have a congressman who's been basically voting against putting a lockbox on the Social Security funds since 1999, and he's never proposed anything new or different to improve it or fix it. Congress has robbed, I think, Social Security to the tune of they left about $4 trillion in IOUs. We always hear about how welfare doesn't run out of money, but Social Security is going to. And fundamentally, we have to go back and put a lockbox and protect those funds. We need to replace those IOUs with actual cash. I think with the president's current tax plan and that surplus block that we're talking about, potentially could actually fund that money in about 2 to 3 to 4 years. Yes.
But do you see anything in the lines of changing some of the parameters in Social Security, raising the age of eligibility or requiring people to continue to contribute to it at all income levels?
I suppose, there's a lot of people. One of the questions I get was, some people don't want Social Security. They want to opt out. But basically once you reach that age, you're supposed to take it. You have to take it. They make you take it. And some people just don't want to take it. They're already set up for with retirement in other venues, or whatever. But I think for now, we may have to just continue to take in Social Security from everybody, payments from everybody, and just let that grow. Maybe get some better actual money management versus just the T-bills for some of those funds anyway. And there's another part to your question there at the very beginning. Could you repeat that?
It was about whether we want to change anything about the parameters of Social Security eligibility, age, or income pay-in, because it drops out after a certain level.
Right. I guess I've kind of taken a more simplistic approach to all this, in that there's just some big breakdowns we've had by failure of Congress to really protect and manage these funds. We just recently, the Republicans ran a bill to take out, $2.9 trillion out of Social Security, calling it was a surplus. I was like, how can we have a surplus of Social Security when we have $4 trillion in IOUs? Couldn't understand that. I was shocked they even tried to run it. And Mr. Walden did vote in favor of that. Thankfully, they didn't get 3/5 vote, so it failed.
Now let me turn to Randy Pollack and ask if Social Security is on your radar as an issue that needs some attention.
Okay. I think eventually the age of eligibility for people in their teenage years and 20s should be gradually raised, maybe a year at a time. But we are obligated to provide the benefits for people who are on it now or soon to retire, and those ages should not change. And I agree with Paul. We should convert those IOUs into Treasury paper or, conservative commercial bonds and start earning some interest on that. But 0% certificates of indebtedness are definitely not the way to go, and $4 trillion of them is insane.
So let's talk about general approaches, because you mentioned debt as one of your major concerns coming in. So how would you change, other than, working within our means and making sure that the income balances with the budget itself? I mean, would you favor, for example, a balanced budget amendment, Randy?
Yes, I would. Limit the spending to 20% of the gross domestic product is probably the way to go. And I do believe that Congress would be unwilling to send such a constitutional amendment to the states for ratification. So I strongly favor an Article 5 amendment convention initiated by the states for a limited set of amendments that may or may not get ratified by three-quarters of the states.
The concept of a constitutional convention still scares a few people who are afraid the same thing might happen that happened in 1787, where they go for a tweak on the Articles of Confederation and emerge with something new. I mean, are there other things you would like to see changed in the Constitution if there is a convention?
Well, yeah, term limits. I think anything between 12 and 18 years grand total has been suggested, but most are going around the 12-year limit, so that would be either one or two terms in the Senate and the remainder in the House, and then you are no longer eligible for federal service.
I noticed that both of you favor that. Paul Romero, Jr., you're also thinking in terms of a 12-year set of term limits. Is that right?
Yeah, as a matter of fact, I'm a little more strict than some of the ones that are out there. I'm going to back up just a second. You know, Congress has about a 13% approval rating, and that's over Dems, Republicans, Independents, everybody. And to me, that speaks volumes. With everything that's going on and budgets and Social Security not funding this stuff, one of Congress's primary jobs is to create a budget, and these omnibus bills just allow way too much flexibility. They need to get back to brass tacks and do their job, and fundamentally that's creating a budget. And then to go on to the term limits, my proposal is very simply, president has two terms, 8 years max. Senator with a six-year term, if we double that, two terms, just 12 years, representatives would be same 12 years since they're in Congress. Granted, they have to get elected six times to do that, but fundamentally after 12 years, you don't get a secure federal retirement. You need actual 20 to 30 years of federal service, whether it's military or whatever, to secure a retirement. To me, at least that would be fair and reasonable. It's a simple thing. It's not too complicated, and it could be easily done.
Mm-hmm.
The question would be, how many congressmen right now could you get to go along with that?
Well, yeah, because it would have to be changed at the federal level. You also list among your priorities, Paul Romero, Jr., defend the Constitution, which we just talked about amending the Constitution. What do you think needs to be defended above all else?
Well, the First and Second Amendment primarily, and they protect everything else. We're constantly under attack for the Second Amendment, and it's – so many people really don't understand the Constitution. They don't really read it. They don't get it. People talk about it being an antiquated document, and the simple truth is, no, it stood the test of time, and it works. It ensures liberty and freedom, and we have to protect it. That's what our livelihood really is in this country. As far as things to change,
you talk about the Second Amendment being under attack, though, and people read that part that says well-regulated militia and believe in some regulations other than just a blanket, everybody gets to have guns.
Again, we're back to you go back to the Federalist Papers and all the defining documents that explain in great detail what was intended by that amendment. You got to go back to the brass tacks on that. You can't just reinterpret or reinvent new definitions for things. And with a well-regulated militia, That's just one part of that. You know, other than that, everybody else still has the ability and right to defend themselves. And I think that it spells that out pretty plainly, too. But I would like to see, you know, where people within a given state to actually have a militia to make sure people are trained or just in basic gun safety or use. I don't see that as a bad thing. Mm-hmm. And as far as, like, changes to the Constitution, like I said, we definitely need to put some term limits there. There was something else Randy had mentioned.
Spending discipline.
They have to create a budget. No more of this omnibus bill type situation. I think that has been abused for 8+ years now, and we're not really any better off than we've ever been. I think Congress has a huge spending problem, and they need to get back to what they're supposed to do, get back to their job.
All right, so no Christmas tree bills like we saw with the most recent appropriations bill. We're talking to the two Republicans running for Congress District 2 in Oregon who are not Greg Walden. Greg Walden has been invited and has not shown. Paul Romero Jr. repairs appliances in the Prineville area. Randy Pollack drives trucks in the Grants Pass area. They are both on the ballot as Republicans running for Oregon District 2. We'll get the Democrats on Monday. You can join the conversation here and now on The Exchange, 800-838-3760 by phone, by email, jx@jeffnet.org. I want to go a little further down the down the Second Amendment road, because Randy Pollack, you talk about existing gun laws only, so pretty much in the same place, it sounds like, as Paul.
Yeah, with a little bit of difference. I've read through the Federalist Papers and the ratification debates, and the way well-regulated militia was interpreted was that every citizen is a member of the militia, and the well-regulated part is that they obey the orders of the officers appointed over them.
All right. Let's move on, as long as we're talking about people with guns, and talk about military spending and where the two of you come down on that. Randy Pollack, let's start with you.
Okay. Both Paul and I are veterans. I'm a veteran of the Air Force. And anyone that's been in the military knows that there's a enormous waste in procurement, that we're not getting value for our money. And I think military contractors should be held to even tighter standards for efficiency and perhaps put them on a cost-plus basis and keep a close watch on the actual cost. No more $500 hammers.
Okay. And Paul Romero Jr., how about you in military spending? Need more of it? Need less of it?
Well, you know, if you look at the four key principles of being a true conservative, strong defense, lower taxes, less spending, and defending traditional American values, you know, the first one is strong defense. And, you know, we've had it fairly well weakened over the last 8 years. So we do have a recovery process. When I was first in, they were cracking down pretty hard on fraud, waste, and abuse in the military system. And it was very successful. People had great ideas, and, you know, parts that we were paying hundreds of dollars for, you get a radio shack for pennies, you know, things like that. It's really amazing what can be done when people start looking, and there's a lot of smart people in the military, you know. Let them exercise the intelligence that they have in their management. So, I like I said, I think that what's going on right now with defense is in the right direction, and without it, you know, we need to protect our borders, and that's part of a strong defense.
I'm glad you led there, because that is we have about 2 minutes left to get into that, immigration and your concerns about it. Let's start with you, Randy.
Illegal immigrants, go home now, because we will send you home.
Does that include the DACA recipients?
Well, the DACA recipients are still technically illegal, but I would consider them under the asylum program.
All right, but are there limits to the asylum program, and would you take refugees from places like Syria, for example, Randy?
Well, you know, we do currently have limits on refugees, and as far as the DACA recipients, obviously they had no choice in the matter when they came, and I would offer them permanent residency, but not automatic citizenship.
All right, Paul Romero Jr., where do you come down with immigration and the DACA recipients in particular?
Okay, well, like I said, first of all, illegal immigrants are illegal, and they're going to have to go. For the DACA, you know, there was two different periods of time when they were given an opportunity to go through the process for legalized immigration. Back under Reagan and then again under Clinton. They were given like 10 years and then another 10 years, and they didn't do anything. So the question is, why didn't they make this effort? It was set up. It was for them. Do we have to keep giving them more chances? To me, it's just not being responsible and not taking your citizenship seriously. And it's not like it's been kept from them. It was offered.
But Clinton hasn't been in office for 18 years.
I'm sorry?
Clinton hasn't been in office for nearly 18 years.
No, I understand that. And like I said, the question is, why didn't the people that are falling under DACA, why didn't they take care of this, you know, 18 years ago or longer? Like I said, it's not that it wasn't there. So the question, I guess, comes down to the voters. It's like, what do they want? And I've gotten it from both sides, where they want something done to kind of help them out or get them on track for being a legal immigrant here in this country, to know they're illegal, they've been given plenty of chances, send them home. You know, let them go through the process.
All right. Well, we'll leave it there because we are out of time, but glad to have both of you on today. Paul Romero Jr. from Prineville is running for Congress District 2. He wants to unseat Greg Walden as the Republican nominee. So does Randy Pollack, who is from the Grants Pass area. Greg Walden himself was invited to be part of this program and has not taken us up on our offer. We will have all seven Democrats on in the 9 o'clock hour on Monday. I want to thank you, Randy Pollack, for joining us. And I want to thank you, Paul Romero Jr., for joining us as well today.
Thanks for having us.
Thank you, Jeffrey.
Sure, take it easy.